Good morning. Greetings in our Savior's name this morning. The subject I'd like to consider this morning is something that God has been working with me in my life, something that has made me quite uncomfortable at times. I think that's good. And this morning I trust that each of us will feel a bit uncomfortable. And I want that for myself, I want that for you, that God would be able to bring us closer to what He wants of us. I've made some changes in my life in regards to this, and I know there's more changes to be made. I'd like to consider this morning what the Bible says about giving. Perhaps you've had the thought, well, now that sure applies to him. Just look at his life. It's obvious. He needs that principle in this or this area. But it doesn't fit me. It doesn't fit me with my limited resources. It doesn't apply. But as I considered the scriptures, what God says about giving, I don't find anywhere where he says, once you have this much, I expect you to give. I don't find that. God made the sun. God made the sun, it gives. God made the moon, it gives. God made the stars, they give. God made the air, it gives. God made the clouds, they give. God made the earth, it gives. God made the sea, it gives. God made the trees, they give. God made the flowers, they give. God made the fowls, they give. God made the beasts, they give. God made the plants, they give. God made man, he what does he do? Consider these statistics of our world today. I got them from another source, came from the internet. The world's population today is around 7 billion people. 1 billion of those 7 exist on $1 a day. Another 2 billion people exist on less than $2 a day. That makes almost half of the world's population struggling to exist one more day. Struggling to find enough food and water to exist one more day. The United States holds one half of this world's wealth. We are the richest nation on earth ever, even in our current condition. And yet, the United States holds 5% of the world's population. We are a people of so much. Do you think that it would be within the possibility or the ability of the United States to help these 3 billion people who struggle to exist from one day to the next? Would we be able to help them? According to someone's study, the billions of dollars spent on Christmas gifts by the American people would feed, clothe, educate, and meet the medical needs of these 3 billion people. What does that do to you? Isn't that the least we could do? Is give up our Christmas gifts. We wouldn't have to change our lifestyle. Just give up our Christmas gifts to help these people. But is that even within our power? No, we can't even do that for our nation. But what does God want us to do? There are needs far away. There are needs next door. What does God expect us to do with these needs? Proverbs 22:2 says, "The rich and poor meet together. The Lord is maker of them all." Psalm 75:7, "But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." Psalm 107:41, "Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock." Matthew 26:11, Jesus said, "For ye have the poor always with you." Is it God's plan that we all live on a level plane financially? I don't get that idea. I don't get the idea that God expects everyone to live on an even plane financially. But I do believe that the inequality of life that has been brought on by sin levels out in the balance of kingdom principles. The working out of New Testament principles, God's principles, brings about an equality among men that lasts through all eternity. Let's notice just several of those. Romans 10:12. Understanding that this equality isn't necessarily, as Scripture has already brought out, on the natural level. "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." Galatians 3:28. "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus." 2 Corinthians 8:12-14. "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance may also be a supply for your want, that there may be equality." I'd like to consider the answers that Scripture gives us. The answers to the six basic questions as we consider the subject of giving this morning. Who, what, when, why, where, and to what extent? Number one, who should give? Luke 10:27 says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." He also says this is the first and greatest commandment necessary to inherit eternal life. Proverbs 25:21, "If thine enemy hunger, be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink, for thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord shall reward thee." Read one from Matthew 5. Matthew 5:42. "Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." Here, you is understood. So it applies to all of us. Luke 12:33. "Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags with wax not, which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth." Again, you is understood. Sell what you have, and give. Give alms. Alms means compassion. Compassion isn't just a feeling I have, but it's a working out of that feeling. Compassion is helping the need that I'm aware of. 2 Timothy 6, 17 to 19. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy 6. "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." The call, I believe, is to all. Each one of us. I believe we'll see that as we go on. Number two, what do you give? Deuteronomy 16, 16 and 17. "Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee." As he is able. As God has blessed you, so give. Deuteronomy 14, 22 to 29. "Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the year bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. The tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thy oil, of the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, Or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then thou shalt turn it into money, and bind up the money in thine hand, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desireth. And thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household. And the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee. At the end of 3 years thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and shall lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come, and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest. Bring the tithe. The tithe of your crops, the tithe of your possessions, the first fruits. In the process of bringing us to God and worshiping together, don't take advantage of the less fortunate. Bring them in, include them, share with them. Bring what you have. In Matthew 19:21 and Luke 12:33, Jesus said, "Sell that ye have and give to the poor." Jesus said to the rich young ruler, "Sell all that thou hast and distribute to the poor." Jesus also said, "But rather give alms of such things as ye have." What does God expect me to give? What I have. From what I have. Not more, not less. But what God has placed in your hands, give. Don't wait till you have plenty. Don't wait until you have extra. But give what you have now. Young Stanley Tam had failed in his silver reclamation business, even though he had tithed since its beginning. "Why, God," he prayed as he drove homeward with numb disappointment. Then an inner voice from the Lord seemed to say, "You don't need to fail. Turn your business over to me and let me run it. Remember the promise, my God shall supply all your need." Finally, Tam replied, "Take it, God, and if you make it succeed, I'll honor you in every way I can." He returned home and the business grew. Many months later, after he had married, he wrestled with his conscience once more and told his wife, "I feel God would have us take a bigger step of faith than tithing and make him a senior partner in the business. 50% of the stock belonged to him." States Smelting and Refining Corporation of Lima, Ohio was reorganized that way. Soon a new corporation, United States Plastic, was added to God's partnership. Growth was so phenomenal that the IRS audited their books for 10 consecutive years. Dividends from God's 51% were put into the Stanita Fund, which helps overseas missionaries mainly. As the business passed the multi-million dollar mark, God's share was upped to 60% annually. Then one day the ultimate happened. Stan and Juanita Tam turned over the ownership of the entire business to God. They became just salaried employees. Since then, a new plant quadrupled its original size, sprung up, and the business continued to prosper. Number three, when do we give? I've had, perhaps you've had, the temptation to think, I'm just going to wait. I'm just going to wait until things are a little better and I can give to God then. I just don't have extra money right now. I'm going to wait. There's one problem with that. Am I going to feel like giving more when I have a little more? Likely not. Or perhaps I have $500 today. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to keep this. I'm going to invest it. And I'm going to give God to God later. After I've made more, I'll have more to give. And it'll do more good. There's several problems with that. The need may be gone tomorrow. Or the investment may fall through. Or perhaps tomorrow I just won't have any extra. Luke 22, I'm sorry, 21, 1 to 4. When do I give? And he looked up and saw the rich man casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. What if the widow had waited until she had more to give God? Second Corinthians 8:2. Verses 1 and 2. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty aboundeth unto the riches of their liberality. In both of these instances, these poor people gave today. The need was now, they gave now. And it wasn't from their abundance. Had they waited, I believe that God would not have blessed through their abundance, had they had abundance later on, as he did through their meager gifts. We see here that the amount we give is not important. It's what I keep. It's what I don't give. Number 4. Why should we give? First of all, because it's commanded. Malachi 3, 8 to 10. This is just one of the places we're commanded to. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Will I not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it? God pleads with us to bring to Him what is His. It is also the fruit of faithfulness, Luke 16, 10 and 11. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? As I am faithful in what God has given me today, little or much, as I am faithful in that, only as I am faithful in that will God bestow upon me greater riches. All right, we should also give because of need. Acts 4, 34 and 35. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Luke 11, 5 to 8. And he said unto them, Jesus, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. We will meet needs. Another reason we should give is because it is treasure in heaven, and Jesus commands us to lay up treasure in heaven. We'll just look at one of these, Matthew 19, 21. Several of the Gospels record the rich young ruler coming to Jesus, and this is Jesus' response to him, Matthew 19, 21. Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, Sell what you have, give to the poor. That is the one thing you lack. And as Zacchaeus came to that place of surrendering that and saying, I will give, Jesus said, Today is salvation come to your house. It seems very clear that alongside of repentance, or a fruit of repentance, is an heart, an attitude that gives. Another reason we should give is because it is lending to the Lord. Proverbs 19, 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. I find this very interesting. In 1 Timothy 6, 7, it says, "For we have brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we will take nothing with us." And so, what we have today has been given us by God. It's not ours anyway. We're only stewards of what God has placed within my hands. And yet God says, when you give back that which I have given you, you're lending it to me. And be free when you lend, because I'll repay you for it. What a concept. The Christian who tithes will be surprised at the amount of money he has for the Lord's work. Two, at the deepening of his spiritual life in paying the tithe. Three, at the ease in meeting his own obligation with the 9/10. Four, at the ease in going from 1/10 to a larger percentage. Five, at the preparation this gives to be a faithful and wise steward over the 9/10 remaining. And six, at himself for not adopting the plan sooner. Another reason we should give is because it is motivated by love. 1 John 3, 16 to 18. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he hath laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." He's saying that the type of love God has, in his love, he gave his only son. He gave himself for our salvation. A natural response of God's love in my heart is that I will lay down my life for my brother. What's included in my life? It's everything. It's everything. Do you have the love of God? Are you willing to share with those in need? Love, God's love within my heart will motivate me to give. Paul said, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, though I give it all up, and have not charity, it does me no good." Love shares. That's exactly why God said different places in Scripture, 1 Samuel, Psalm, to obey is better than sacrifice. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart he won't despise. In this area of giving, do we give for tax benefits? Our government recognizes donations that we give. And it affects the taxes we pay. And we give sometimes large amounts to get that receipt to deduct it from my taxes. I believe that's okay. But I challenge us, do I give for the tax benefit? I believe if we're giving, if our giving is motivated for financial success and advantage, we've lost it. We've lost it. For a man's life consisteth not in the things which he possesseth. I believe there's some warnings in Scripture that apply to this point. Riches kept to oneself is a disaster. In Luke 12, we have the story of the rich man who had a big farm. And he had an exceptional year. His crops did great. He had an abundant harvest. His harvest was more than he could put under roof. So he said, "What will I do? I will tear down my barns and build larger, so I can store, so I can keep what I have." That very night, he gave it all away, unwillingly. Riches kept to oneself is a disaster. Ecclesiastes 5:13, there is a sore evil, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. Matthew 19:23, a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Proverbs 28:20, those who haste to be rich shall not be innocent. 1 Timothy 6:9, they that would be rich fall into temptation and a snare and many hurtful lusts. Storing up riches for myself goes hand in hand with stopping my ears to the cry of the poor. Scripture speaks of that. What is the result of not listening to the cry of the poor? Proverbs 21:13, he shall also cry himself and shall not be heard. Proverbs 28:27, he shall have many a curse. Proverbs 22:23, the Lord will spoil their soul. In contrast, Jeremiah says, to judge the cause of the poor and needy is to know God. The heart of God hears the cry of the poor. Number 5, where or to whom do we give? Leviticus 25:35 and Deuteronomy 15:7 says, to thy poor brother. Deuteronomy 26:12 says, to the fatherless and widows. Proverbs 19:17 and Matthew 19:21 says, to the poor. Proverbs 25:21, to thine enemy. Romans 12:20 and Proverbs 31:20, to the poor and the needy. Matthew 25:35, to the stranger. Acts 20:35, to the weak. Romans 12:13, to the saints. And Galatians 6:10, to all men, especially to them of the household of faith. And Ephesians 4:28, to him that needeth. We have many needy around us. I found it interesting here maybe 2 months ago. I think it was within the same week, possibly within 2 weeks. Two homeless families One family, one couple. Connections were made and were brought into our circle. Many times, helping the poor is going to mean giving them a dollar. It's going to mean helping them financially or materially. That's their need. And God wants that. But I think in our world today, we need to be very careful. Many people's needs today are not met with $5 or $20 or $100. It might be part of their need, but today we need to be very careful. Discern from God how to best meet the need you meet. Jesus said in Luke 14, when you make a feast, call the poor, the blind, the lame, those who can't pay back your hospitality. In Matthew 25, the last part of the chapter there, we're not going to take the time to read it. Jesus divides the sheep from the goats, and he says, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren. Who are the least of these? It's those people in need. He says, ye have done it unto me. Jesus identifies with the lowly, the poor, the needy. May we never overlook them. Richard Wurmbrand of Tortured for Christ said that when in prison they tithed, when we were given one slice of bread a week and dirty soup every day, we decided we would faithfully tithe even that. Every tenth week we took the slice of bread and gave it to the weaker brethren as our tithe to the Master. Number 6. How do we give? To what extent does God expect us to give? Deuteronomy 16:17, every man shall give as he is able. We read that earlier. Matthew 6:1, don't do your alms to be seen of men, Jesus said. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand does. Matthew 10:8, freely ye have received, freely give. Again, we have the widow in Luke 21 who gave all she had. And God blessed her for that. Acts 11:29, every man according to his ability. God doesn't say, once you have this much in your bank account. No, he says, just from what you have today, even if it's one loaf of bread, give what you have according to that he hath. Romans 12:8 says, give with simplicity, or give liberally from a single heart. 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Again, there's that love. The love in our heart that motivates giving. And a loving heart will give cheerfully. It can be our tendency. It's a tendency of many in our country to just live at the standard of my income. As my income fluctuates, my standard of living fluctuates. I never have extra. If I have the money, I can afford it. I don't have extra to give. I don't find that according to God's principle here. Principles we've noticed. That is assuming that my resources are for me. And I look out for myself first. God says that's robbing Him. To give of myself. And it goes back to that verse. Loving God, the greatest commandment. First and greatest commandment. Loving God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. Giving God all of me. That includes my things. Then He can use them as He wills. Billy Graham, in his sermon, Partners with God, says, "One of the greatest sins in America today is the fact that we are robbing God of that which rightfully belongs to Him. When we don't tithe, we shirk a just debt. Actually, we are not giving when we give God one-tenth, for it belongs to Him already." Leviticus 27:30. This is a debt we owe. Not until we have given a tenth do we actually begin making an offering to the Lord. With what measure you give, it will be given to you. Psalm 41:1, Proverbs 11:24 to 26, Proverbs 22:9, Isaiah 58:10 and 11, Malachi 3:10. They all speak of the blessing God has in store for the person who is willing to give what he has. And while our motivation cannot be for what I will get out of it, or for the blessing God will give me if I do this, it daren't be our motivation. God won't honor that. Yet God's return on our investment, what we give back to Him, we won't fully realize until we reach glory. But we can be confident that His interest rates surpass anything you can get here. One more reading. Several years ago, some German immigrants to America brought over this story of a woman living on a farm in Germany, who brought to her minister an amount in German money equivalent to about $10 in ours. As she laid down the money, she said, "In former years, I have had to pay about this amount in medicine. This year, there has been no sickness in our family. I want to show my gratitude to the Lord in this way." Sometime later, this same woman again came to her minister with about $5, explaining that many of her neighbors had suffered some losses in a recent windstorm, but that her farm had been spared. "I bring the church this donation as an offering of thanks." May God bless you and honor Him as He leads you in your walk of Christian life and Christian giving.
Thank our brother for sharing this message on giving. I had to think that, God is a God of giving. He sets the tone for that. We're thankful for the unspeakable gift that He has given. I think that there's a lot to consider here in what our brother has given. I don't pretend to understand how God works in giving to some and withholding from others. Jesus said, "You will always have the poor with you," and so there's.